Welcome back. We're live, pal. If you've been sick of seeing only Andrew and myself on this show, you will be delighted to know that we do have a guest today. Andrew, you had this person on Wrestling Observer Live recently. His name is Joe Pearl, and he does some stuff. He does some shows, the Fightful Impact post show. He also does the Overbook show. So, Joe Pearl, what's up, man?
How you guys doing? It's good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Listen, I have a bias. I personally adore Joel. You have no idea how much I like Joel.
Stop.
We met. We just started like it essentially was like just like busting chops on the internet, and then we've met like a handful of times. We've hung out. I mean, I've had some great times with Joel. So we became really good friends from this. I'm like, oh, freaking great. Let's get Joel on.
Yeah.
Well, if there's one thing I can tell you, it's wrestling brings us closer together. And also makes us want to fight each other. So
yes,
come on.
I've asked Andrew because Andrew's a little bit more in the mix than I am when it comes to other people who do this. And I said, hey, you know, I would love to bring on a few more people in 2023. And Joel was very high on the list. And we'll be doing more of that. We'll try to get a guest, you know, maybe once a month or twice a month. To interrupt just Andrew and I bantering. But Joe, welcome. You know, we're going to start off with not the easiest topic. Andrew, I know on Mad Men, you already talked about Jay Briscoe's passing, the tragedy. I've talked about it on the Fight Game podcast, but it literally happened only a couple hours after we were done last week when all the news came out. But there is, I don't know if you would consider this good news, but there's been a change of heart at WBD, and Mark Briscoe is going to be on Dynamite tonight, and it sounds like they are going to be able to talk about Jay on the show, which is kind of a 180 from you know what we had heard about why last week's show was the way it was. Andrew, have you heard anything else about this?
Yeah, I got a little hot on Observer Live. Thank you so much, everybody, for the feedback. It was great because it was very honest how I felt. And I didn't want to, I actually sugarcoated a lot of what I wanted to say because we were on, you know, the radio, but I had a conversation with somebody at Warner last week and it left me so disgusted. Not that they were defending what was happening. They actually didn't understand why they were so adamant still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had this conversation with this person and they even said internally, because of what was going on, there was pressure for a reverse course. But he did not expect it to happen. People internally. The shocking thing here is a lot of people had no idea that this was happening. So I that's what I was surprised at Warner. They didn't know why he wasn't allowed. Or I could tell you that I saw conversations that essentially they were aware of Jay's passing. And I never saw anything that said that he's banned or anything like that. I guess it came from a very high level. And, you know, the internet's support for Jay, the constant, I guess, berating of Warner on their decision, and Tony being adamant, you know, and pushing to do the right thing, change their course. And I'm glad that they changed course, because I brought up a point here. You know, they have Family Guy on there. They have American Dad on there. Ezra Miller from Flash.
Right.
You know, these are all examples of Ezra Miller way more than American Dad and Family Guy, obviously.
Sure.
But, you know, they didn't have the same guttural response to things like this. You know, Jay said something dumb a decade ago and he knew immediately and apologized for it. So why are we punishing somebody continuously for being apologetic? And also on top of that, you know, this man, he died in front of his children, and yeah, you're still being inept to that whole situation. I'm glad that they made a reverse course. I think somebody educated them on what was actually happening, and the you know, whether or not the community of pro wrestling fans were upset over what Jay had said in 2023, you know, 10 years after the fact. I think they decided, you know, this is not the right decision, and good on them, you know.
Yeah, and it even sounded like as of last night, it sounded like nothing was gonna come out of this. And then just reverse, of course, and I think we all saw it with Tony Khan's tweet early this morning of the match with Mark and Jay Lethal. Joel, what are your thoughts on this whole scenario?
I've gone back and forth all week, and I think I've echoed the sentiments of a lot of people, including Andrew, that this should never have been a problem with Warner Bros. Discovery. It should have just been this was one of your wrestlers, Tony. Go ahead and do this. This should never have been a problem. And now that they're doing this match with Mark and Jay Lethal, I mean, I'm overwhelmed. I'm happy. I love seeing it. And I think probably the one... Great. That's my fire alarm. That's good timing. Yeah. Great timing. I'm going to mute myself for a second. Keep going.
All right. So, you go. Or tell us if the house is on fire.
Yeah, please. We want to make sure.
You don't have to stay.
You're okay.
You don't have to do the show. Please.
We want to make sure that...
this isn't Fightful. We're not going to force you to go through a blazing fire, okay? You're on Observer.
Are you good?
I think it's still going on. Okay, so
what I wanted to say was the other piece of this, and Andrew, you're talking a little bit about some hypocrisy in the decision making. No bigger hypocrisy than what came on after Dynamite last week, right?
Yeah. By the way, can I tell you something? I honestly, okay. I made a comment. Nowinski put out a thing. Yes. You saw the CTE thing? Okay.
Yes.
And I just commented on it. I didn't expect anybody to read it. I just commented and I said something like, it's 2023. I think we're very much educated as far as what CTE does in sports. My personal opinion, I think it's gross, the slap.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I'm not telling anybody, listen, dude, I'm not a deathmatch guy. I find it gross, but enjoy it. I don't care. If you enjoy it, enjoy it. However, I've said some stuff about wrestling and I've gotten like attacked on it. I've never been attacked to this level from a bunch of dummies.
Really?
I've never seen so many dummies with their, you know what their defense was? You're a pro wrestling writer and you have a problem with concussions? Yeah, of course I do. I don't want anybody getting concussed. Listen, in wrestling, it's an accident, right? Doesn't make it better, but it's an accident when it happens. The purpose of pro wrestling is not to hurt your opponent. It's a dance. However, you know, you're standing there unprotected, getting hit as hard as possible. Listen, I have a series of concussions, okay? From all the sports that I've played. I've had probably, I could count for at least 4 concussions.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible, okay? Especially if it's a bad one, it's really bad. Do you know how much they're paying these guys to do this?
I saw the note where somebody said that they were offered to join, but it was only for $2,000 to show and $2,000 to win.
I don't have the exact, but I heard it's only like a few grand.
Mm-hmm.
So for a few thousand dollars, let's say it's $2,000, you're going to stand there with your hands to your side and say, okay, concuss me. Concuss me until I possibly pass out and fall and crack my head. You know, like, okay, that's what we're putting on following AEW. I don't think they even knew what the hell the fight that slap fighting thing is. I think they just did it because they thought it's Dana. He has the mic.
Yeah, it's a bet on Dana White more than
it's a bet
else.
On Dana White. But man, terrible timing to take that bet on Dana White with a slap league.
Well, the thing about the slap league is that the idea is that Dana White is a star maker, right? Like, look what Dana White did with The Ultimate Fighter and UFC. And Dana, I feel now, this may be, I may be wrong about this. Dana is a star himself, right? So I almost feel like Dana believes, well, if I'm involved, I can get this thing over. Not necessarily that he can make this, like he can make stars out of this, but that he himself is a big enough star to get this over.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, I think he's believing his own thing here with what he could do with what is ultimately a trashy, very trashy, like low common denominator sport and sport. Listen, quotes.
And I'll touch on this, okay? And I know Joel, his fire has been put out and he's okay now. But I Mike Sempervive brought up a great point on Observer Live. You know, the stance that Warner has had on the Briscoes, especially Jay, is you want the total hypocrisy? They're fine with Mike Tyson being on that show. They're fine with Mike Tyson doing other stuff on Turner Properties, right? This guy was convicted of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a tweet that he put out. In the eyes of the court, whether or not you agree with the decision, this guy did time, and he's done some heinous stuff.
We'll let Joel chime in here. The biggest hypocrisy of the whole thing is what you said earlier, which is Ezra Miller, The Flash is going to make, or at least they believe, millions and millions and millions of dollars, right? AEW doesn't make as much money for them. That's the true hypocrisy about why you let something happen and then you don't let the other thing happen. But sorry, Joel, go for it. We'll give you some time here to get your thoughts in.
No, it's fine. That's just, this is par for the course. You move into a new place, suddenly the alarm goes off every time you want to do something on the air. Whatever, it's fine. So what I was trying to say was the best part of all of this, as I was in the middle of saying, was that there's a high chance and possibility that Tony Khan went to bat for his team, essentially, and said, no more. This is absolutely ridiculous that you're saying no to me at every corner for this one little thing that you don't understand. And I'm not trying to say I'm not reporting anything, but it feels like, you know, and this is a case where Tony may have stood up and said, no, this is ridiculous. Like, why is this the problem? And whatever happened between this morning and or yesterday morning and this morning, where we have a match, we have a Briscoe on television, despite everything that had happened. I think, and I will take that win despite all the other garbage that's going on with the Warner Brothers situation and everything that's already been talked about as I was waiting for the beeps to go away.
Yes, no, very well said. Okay, so, you know, Dynamite Now, last week we had the show, which was only one day after all everything that happened. So I think, you know, the show was good, but I think wrestling fans were definitely down watching it. Now, I think I'm going to guess that tomorrow we're going to get sort of the proper respect paid for Jay. I don't know if it's going to be fully a Jay show. They still have their storylines to get through. But, you know, that I think it, kind of what Joel said, what Tony Khan does well is he thinks like a wrestling fan. What does the Jay Briscoe fan want? What does the ROH fan want? What does the pro wrestling fan want? That's what I am trying to do. And kudos to him if he was able to pull this off in that way. And, you know, I think wrestling fans will be happy. And this is where you gain the trust, right? Like, you feel like Tony Khan is the voice of you, and you gain that little bit of trust even more for the product. So this is a really good thing, and I'm happy to see it. Andrew, do you sense that? Now, this I don't want this to be a negative question, but as we know, ROH is much smaller, or was much smaller than AEW, like peak for peak, right? Jay Briscoe is a giant star to us, but I do wonder if the broader AEW fan base sees him in that same way as we would.
I can tell you that the broader pro wrestling fan base, really, they're not really connected to knowing who Jay Briscoe is. I think the AEW fan base knows of him way more, obviously. But, you know, I think it'll, for the AEW audience, yes. Let me just clarify. I think they're very much aware who Jay Briscoe is. They're very much aware today, way more aware today. But definitely, you know, that series with FTR and the praise that it got on online and throughout the pro wrestling community kind of helped with that. Even if you weren't aware of who the Briscoes were for whatever reason and you're an AEW fan, I think you're very much aware of who the Briscoes and Jay Briscoe is today.
Yeah, 100%. I think you're spot on about that. Okay, so let's talk about some I feel like we kind of created these rumors last year, Andrew, post-WrestleMania. We had Dave Meltzer on this very show. And I don't know if it was this show or in relation, but you remember when you got aggregated for saying that Austin and Goldberg is kind of like a dream match that could happen?
Yeah, Wrestling Inc.
At some point? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Wrestling Inc. Put out a transcript of me saying it, apparently, that never happened. But now, what? I'm going to tell you, it's quite possible that they had this unbelievable clairvoyancy to see it in the future. I take every bad thing I said about that. You should have left that article up because I would have been a genius at this point.
So there are rumors that Austin, I guess they talked to him last year, a big money offer for a match. Dave Meltzer says it was for Brock Lesnar, Austin Lesnar. Now, we talked last year. The reason I bring this up is because we asked Dave on the air. We said, hey, if this Rock thing doesn't happen for 2023, WrestleMania 39, we saw the Austin moment and how special that was at WrestleMania 38. Could Austin come back and be sort of plan B for Roman Reigns? And at that point, Dave was like, oh, that's a very interesting idea. Anything is on the table when it comes to these shows because they want WrestleMania to be such a giant show. But what do you think of the idea of Austin and Reigns? Now, it doesn't sound like that's necessarily where they're going, but there's like this, all of a sudden, there's this fervor to get Austin and Roman Reigns in the ring together.
Dude, I'm going to tell you, like, I love wrestling. I've been discussing it for like the last like X amount of weeks here. Like everybody, like it's quite obvious, like my style of wrestling is what Danielson does, it may not be for everybody,
yeah,
but holy crap. You know what? I don't care. I want to see that match. How are you not intrigued by this? Now, whether or not you want to see Austin win a title or not, or if it's going to happen, but like, okay, you know what? It's such a bonkers concept in 2023 that Stone Cold Steve Austin is facing, Roman Reigns, the greatest of today at WrestleMania. You know, if somebody had messaged this in the chat room or tweeted me this, I would tell them that they're bonkers. But the fact that this was pitched, which I believe Sean reported on Fightful Select, that it was pitched, these are conversations that happen. Dave mentioned that Lesnar was also mentioned in the pitch. Are we going to go to Goldberg now? Don't publish that, please. I'm not saying it's happening.
Wrestling.
Or do. I don't care. But you know what I mean? Like it's WrestleMania has become the go-to for the casual fan at this point. It's the same as the Rumble. Rumble sets it up, but my wife sits there and watches the entirety of WrestleMania with us, and she's not a pro wrestling fan. I have so many friends that are asking me, what are you doing for WrestleMania? And these guys don't really, they come in for a couple months and they leave. If that's what you're doing, and if that's what Peacock wants to grow their subscription service, where now, they want to gloat and say they had 6 million people watch WrestleMania over the weekend or whatever they want to say, that's the way to do it, really. You want to talk about one of the most watched main events of WrestleMania history? With Stone Cold Steve Austin and Roman Reigns main event, whether or not, I'm not saying it's happening again, that would draw eyeballs. Now, will it be a great match? Is it a deserving position for Steve Austin? Is it taking somebody else's spot? I'm not even going into that side of the argument, but if you're talking just visually, marketability, the sales behind this, the merch sales, the interest, how do you not do it if you can?
Joel, what do you think about Austin and the possibility of him doing something big at Mania?
When he came back last year and when he had the face-off with KO and the unsanctioned match, all that stuff, or the no disqualification match, it was so well done, but it was also a walk and brawl that KO made Austin look amazing in.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I don't want to see it again. I just don't necessarily want to see, main event Austin, no title WrestleMania, main event Austin, probably for a title WrestleMania. There's a huge discrepancy in like expectation when that happens. One was a literal segment that turned into a match, which the inside fan knew, but if you're in the arena, there's still that electricity, like, oh my God, maybe. But when you get to the match itself, if you got to build a world title match between Roman Reigns and Steve Austin, there's a lot you can do, but there's a lot of expectation that comes with that. And I think that's where it's going to lie. You can do it, you can make it work, but it's going to take a lot to get the fans seriously invested to that point.
Joe, let me ask you this quickly. what would you be, it, that expectation, right? What would have to happen for you to be happy? If it was a similar match to what he did with Kevin Owens, would that satisfy you? Or it wouldn't, because he's facing Roman Reigns, you know, the Grand Poobah right now.
It almost has to be another one of those no disqualification walk-in brawls. Take a few bumps, but not too many. But again, we don't know what ring shape Austin's in, how comfortable he is. So if they do some sort of tune-up match, first time on Raw having a match in X amount of years, or whatever you need to do to pop a rating, because it's inevitable. If you can do that and show the audience that, yeah, Austin can still go in whatever that means for Stone Cold in 2023, then yeah, people will buy in. If you just tell me Austin's going to face Roman and they're just going to promo off until the match, I don't think people are going to buy in nearly as quickly if they don't see what Austin can do other than the stunner.
It's a great point. I think there are two flaws with this plan. The first flaw is, if it's a title match, I don't want to see, I just don't want to see Austin lose a match in 2023. I just want to see him win. I want to see the crowd go crazy. I want to see him pop the Budweisers and be done with it. Now, if he faces Roman, you have two issues. One is, you don't want to see Austin lose. The second is, if he wins, then you've wasted this 2-year title run to then give it to the next person on someone who's not going to be around, or who's going to be around sporadically. So I think those are my two main issues with doing Austin in a title match. Now, if somehow they get the belt off of Reigns and they want to do that, Austin and Reigns, then go for it. I just don't see Roman losing, because they want him to be the Austin of this generation. So they have an interesting predicament with that. But like Andrew said, you put that thing on the marquee, you put that thing on the poster, and all of a sudden WrestleMania 39 is even bigger than last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, my dad's watching. Yeah, my dad is now asking me questions. My father saw it on Facebook. And he's like, oh, and he's showing me that graphic that everybody was spreading yesterday. And he's like, Stone Cold Steve Austin is wrestling Roman Reigns? I'm like, no. And I had to, like, you know, do the whole explanation. Like, no, maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. Who knows, you know? But, you know, but here's the other side, right? It only is good if it makes sense. That's really what it comes down to. Like, if you could make this make sense in some way rather than just injecting a guy, and it not hurting Cody, because I think a lot of people expect Cody to be the guy, then fine. Okay, you can make anything make sense. You know what could have made sense to me from last night? And I know we're going to go into Rumble.
Yeah.
You know who looks great and is very Austin-esque? LA Knight.
Oh, my
God. Yeah.
Here we go.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm so sold on this guy.
Wait, you mean the fake Steve Austin? Is that who you're talking about?
The fake Steve Austin. I love it. Yeah, have him do. He's doing the whole swagger now. He's more and more embracing that Steve Austin now.
Could his jeans have been any tighter? That was my question.
I
was like, wondering if he's going to rip.
Joel knows how I feel about this. Joel knows how I feel about this.
The jeans were
perfectly fine. There's no such thing as tight jeans, okay?
That's right.
There's no such thing. Do you want to see mine right now? Look how tight these things are. They're painted on.
Stand up. Let's see. Stand up.
No, you're going to stand up.
Look at this. Yeah. I can do it.
Okay. So I have a scenario in which I think it could work, but it would have to be, they would have to sort of culminate Montreal as like an end point for Roman, and then he comes out on Raw the next night and he's like, not only am I head of the table, but I'm the biggest WWE star of all time, and I don't even have to work WrestleMania. Like, you could literally do something as simple as that, and then glass breaks and Austin comes out and they start the back and forth. It could be as simple as that. But again, the finishes and all that stuff. So I guess the next question I have for both of you, and Joel, we'll let you go first here. What would be a good match for Austin? And let's say Reigns is off the table. Let's say they figured out Reigns, whether it's going to be Cody or Sammy, or sounds less and less like it's going to be Dwayne, but who knows? Maybe they're trying to keep that under the tightest of lips there. Who could Austin do something similar with, like he did with Owens last year, on this current roster that you think would be a good fit?
Oh, this is such a bad idea. Baron Corbin?
Barry Corbin from last night. Yeah. Barry?
Just let Barry? Him just just let him get buried by Austin instead. Like, get buried underneath everybody. No, I, there's no one that I'm looking at that makes perfect sense to me. Drew McIntyre is a good one, but then it becomes a story of respect unless Drew turns. Yeah. But other than that, there's no one that I'm looking at that's like, oh, it's got to be this guy, because we did KO and that was
perfect, right? That was like the perfect way to do it. Yeah. Andrew, what do you think? Anybody
to face outside of who? Anybody on the current roster or anybody?
Yeah. Who's in the, if Roman Reigns in Austin is not on the table, who should Austin wrestle if he's going to be back?
There's only two people really in my mind. Goldberg or Lesnar. Get it over with. You know, we were talking about this on this. How many of these opportunities exist still? You know, Roman Rock is one. Austin Goldberg, Austin Lesnar, Sting Taker. You don't have a lot of these left that you could maybe kind of do. I would think that, you know, if you want to give something special and let's say it's Roman and Cody or whatever you're doing. You want to do something special? Do Lesnar Austin if you can. I mean, I don't know if Austin wants to do it or he can do that style, but he can't take any suplexes. I'll tell you that. He's not going to take like 18 of those. I mean, you could do something.
Okay, I have a guy, but they've recently turned this guy babyface, even though he still comes off as a little bit of a dick to me. But I think the perfect guy to do the Kevin Owens job from last year is Seth Rollins.
Absolutely.
Like Seth is maybe the most flexible wrestler that they have on their roster, and he would be fantastic. But then he'd have to go heel again in order to make the promos work. And it seems like they, you know, recently just wanted him to be a face. But like he was on the face tag team against Imperium last night on Raw 30. So Seth would be my guy. Austin Theory, if he's not doing something with John Cena, it would be interesting. I don't know if that would be the right fit. Someone like Logan Paul, but similar, you know, I'm just thinking of people who are athletic and can do a lot of stuff and work around Austin's limitations at this point. So, but I mean, you know, this is what's great about this time of the year, the road to WrestleMania. We really see what they're laying out and what they consider to be the big stuff, the marquee matches for Andrew's dad to be like, hey, I want to watch this, even though, you know, I'm not a day-to-day viewer. Like, that's the whole thing, right?
He goes to me, he's like, listen, he goes, in his weird German Persian accent, it's not really Persian because he had a German English teacher at the American embassy. He's like, listen, this fucking guy, Steve Austin, is back. That literally word for word what he said to me. That's how we started. Like,
it's amazing.
Like, he pulled me aside when he saw me. He's like, listen, like it's a secret. He's showing me this. He got the scoop, apparently.
Yeah. I think he and he must have been DMing with Sean.
He was DMing Sean Ross Sapp, my dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew, has your dad seen Gunther yet?
Say that again.
Has your dad seen Gunther yet?
No, he has not seen Gunther. No, he has not seen Gunther.
Big. I think he'd like
him. You know what he would say? He would love him. Man, he's a big guy. He would say that. My dad's a body guy. You know, he was a bodybuilder. So he likes all the big jacked up dudes.
Let's go.
That was my dad when I would watch wrestling. He'd be like, okay, I don't like any of this other stuff. But when Hogan slammed Andre, that was impressive. Like, that's always
that was real. Thing. That was real.
That was actually a feat of strength there. All right, let's talk a little bit about Raw 30 before we do preview the Royal Rumble. It's really hard to preview the Royal Rumble because there's so few guys announced for this match. Like, come on, Triple H. You have to do the Vince thing here for the build to this Royal Rumble? Or maybe it is the Vince thing still.
It is the Vince thing.
All right, so what'd you guys think of Raw 30? That, you know, they spent that whole first hour with no commercials. We had the long Bloodline segment, which I thought was still really good, especially if you needed sort of a recap from, you know, the last several months, maybe if you hadn't been watching week to week on SmackDown. But ultimately, Joel, was the 30th anniversary or the 30th year of Monday Night Raw, was it worthy of this anniversary title here?
So I go back to 2018. I go back to Raw 25. Remember what that was like? Remember how everyone felt about that? It was the go-home show to the Rumble that year? Exactly. WWE keeps painting themselves into this really obnoxious corner where, hey, Monday Night Football's over this week. So what are we going to do? We're going to do the big Raw episode, whether it's old school Raw or if it's the 25th anniversary or the 30th anniversary. That's what this week was. So going into it, my expectations were already like, oh, it's the lead into the Royal Rumble and it's the first Raw without Monday Night Football. So it's going to be big, but it's not going to be too big. The show itself was fine. That first hour was probably the best hour of TV they've put on in a long time. And that is largely because of what they did with the Bloodline segment. That was fantastic all around. Like I can't say a bad thing about it for the most part. That being said, the rest of the show was, you know, as Billy Kidman once said, it felt like a Raw.
Yeah. That was my feedback, which was because I was texting some friends after the Bloodline segment, and I think I went about not quite halfway, but almost halfway. And I sent a note to some friends going like, oh, this is kind of fun. I like this. Like it's all the greatest hits. Like they're just doing the same stuff, but it felt fun. But then that second half of the show, man, that thing meandered like every other Raw that we've ever seen for sure. Andrew.
Yeah, but you know what did it meander? The ratings.
Yeah. The rating. Of course.
2.34 million.
Well, we
in
got
the key demo, a 0.70 key demo.
Football. That's right. Well,
and the key is going to be the second and third hour, right? Because when you do the no commercials gimmick, then you have to pack in the rest of the 2 hours with all your commercials for that you missed in the first hour too. And that's probably why I felt oh, this is just like every other Raw. So I think that second and third hour is going to be probably the most important metric when it comes to that rating, because 0.7, they did a giant number, great for them, but we'll see the viewing pattern, because I can't imagine people were so fired up for the Bloodline and then were as equally fired up for Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory, even though your best friend Brock Lesnar came back. So that was I hope some people stayed, because you know maybe they think that would be a big deal. But have a favorite part of go ahead.
I think this was the most watched Raw since February of 2020.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And hopefully it'll draw more people to the Royal Rumble, right? That theoretically, that's what they're hoping. And I would love to see them, you know, get a lot of eyeballs for this show. But did you guys have like a favorite moment? Was there any outside of the Bloodline thing was really good, but any of like the old stuff that you popped for that you thought was kind of cute, Joel?
Dude, Kurt Angle with DX absolutely stole the show.
What the hell was that?
Kurt seems to find himself in everyone else's stable, so why not put him in DX for him to be like, I always wanted to be in DX. And
the Billy Gunn replacement.
Billy Angle.
Yeah, they didn't even they didn't even acknowledge. Like he first of all, I was watching it and you know, I took an edible at the start of Raw, and by the time that segment's kicking in, I'm trying to understand who the hell's out there. I'm like, that can't be Billy Gunn. I'm like, did X-Pac shave his head and his beard? Like, I honestly, that's what I thought it was. And I'm like, who is this guy? And I'm like, oh my God, it's Kurt Angle. Is he lost?
I love that he's wearing multiple shirts. Yeah. Underneath, right? He comes out in the Angle shirt, takes off his DX shirt, and he's got the ref shirt underneath, and he's trying so hard to like keep it tucked into his pants so that he doesn't give away what he's doing. It was a fun segment, but on top of it, I think what people really liked is that they didn't make any of the current stars look like jerks. They didn't make them look like losers.
That's what made it an anti-DX segment for me, is because Triple H goes to stand up to Gunther and he's like, I'm retired. Like, and same thing, Sean, same thing, you know, because the original DX was all about burying whoever they were in the segment with and making them look like lesser stars. Like, that's literally what it was. So, yeah, this was pretty funny. I dug it. When I was watching all those guys, I was like, yeah, Triple H, obviously we know he's got the health injury the health issue. Sean, you know, we know Sean, what he thinks about wrestling. Road Dogg is probably not in the greatest shape to wrestle. Throw X-Pac in the Royal Rumble, man. That dude looks great. He looks amazing.
Yep. He wants
Let's see some X-Pac. What do you think, Andrew?
He doesn't want it.
Dude, I'm shocked that we haven't seen X-Pac do something. And I don't know if it was on this show, but I was like, I think last week we were talking about X-Pac. He's one of those guys that could still do something. And, yeah. You know, I watched that match he had with Sammy in Chikara, right? He had that match with Sammy? With Generico.
Yeah.
2012 or 11, whatever it was. My God, this guy was going at that time. And it's a shame. I don't know if it was his personal problems or what, but we could have seen something from him in the 2010s, and it would have been fantastic. That he was so talented.
Yeah, what do we got to sign? Is there something we can sign to get X-Pac in the Royal Rumble? Like, let's do it. That would be fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
But here's the bad part. He doesn't come out to DX. He comes out to his the X-Factor theme.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what he comes out to.
That's great.
Yeah, he comes out to his terrible stable with Just Incredible.
And let's go.
And Kane can come out with him. And who was the other Tori? What was her name? Remember, he was
Tori.
Was Kane.
Tori Gate. Tori. Jackie Talks? Gata.
No. It was the member of the woman. In the beginning, they introduced her by being sort of like the Sable stalker, and then she. Terry Power was her wrestling name from like the late 80s. So is, I guess they just called her Tori.
Terry Poach is, I believe, her real name, right?
Yeah. All right. For enough about WWF from 1998. I will say that the one thing in addition to the DX thing that cracked me up was, and this shouldn't have been so entertaining to me, but The Godfather, just not knowing who Baron Corbin was, like, really made me smile. They're doing the poker game, and finally Baron Corbin had to flash some cash in order for the Godfather and Ron Simmons to say he could play in the poker game. Now, the thing I didn't like is they tried to make it too cute, and they walk through the door, and it's like a fake door, and it's like a prop door. Like, I didn't like that part. I was like, now you're telling me like this is just a giant joke. But I thought that was kind of cool. Now the other segments with DiBiase and IRS.
Wasn't that a throwback to the APA?
It was also back in the day. If anyone ever went around the door, both members of the APA would give them shit and just be like, no, do not disrespect this place.
I didn't like that part about the APA either, because if I remember correctly, like the original stuff was actually, they did have an actual room, but then they just made it a part of like being a part of the set or something later. But yeah, you're right, you're 100% right. But that stuff was pretty fun. I wish they would have showcased a little bit. I think we got to see Medusa. She was at the table. DDP was at the table. I wish they would have had, you know, been able to showcase a few more of the older talent. And I guess, Andrew, the Bellas were like, nope, we're not doing this show. Like, what happened there?
I don't know. I don't know what happened there. They posted a thing.
It sounds like they were there, right? Like they were there and they just decided not to do anything.
Yeah, that's so weird. And they were, I don't know. I know that they went back to the hotel and made that video where they were disappointed in WWE cutting out Sasha from, I guess, like a women's
Sasha,
revolution package
and,
or whatever.
And Paige, too, Saraya.
And Paige, yeah. So weird stuff. The first hour, 2.635, and the demo was a 0.880. Last week, the first hour did 1.5 million. So they did over a million viewers more for hour one. That's unbelievable. That's actually very impressive.
Yeah, there was also a football game that had like 30 million viewers or something that was not there. Yeah. So they
last year was a 1.8.
Okay. Yeah. No. That's a successful number. They are able to do that when they really need to, right? And this was the right week to do it because of the Royal Rumble. But Andrew, before we move on to talking about the Rumble, was there anything else on Raw that you found to be kind of funny or throwback or cute?
I thought they did the old school stuff pretty good. The only thing I was really disappointed in, that I was very, very disappointed in, was the They didn't do the old Raw intro.
Mm-hmm. They did the music a little bit, like one of the years, little. The previous years of Raw. But yeah, there was no like real retro style.
The video packages that they were doing had different Raw themes.
The old Raw. I wanted them to start off with the old Raw, like the old Attitude Era Raw. That's all I wanted, and I didn't get it. So I hated it all. It was a terrible
show. Well, no one wants to talk about the American Badass showing up.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm not a fan of the American Badass. I never... That pay-per-view, when he came back as the American Badass, I was nothing but disappointed. And I hated that entire... I know people love it, and I get it. Like, yeah. Rich loves American Badass Taker. I never liked it. And I was like, oh, great, he's doing it. Okay, but nobody... It seems like the crowd didn't want that version either.
Crowd didn't know
they popped it, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's on a bike.
Well, for the same reason that you didn't like it, is because it wasn't the Dead Man. It was a different version of him. But the one positive about the Dead Man is it allowed him to wrestle a little bit more aggressively and different, which I think then helped it when he went back to the Dead Man and his style changed. That's a positive for it. But yeah, the Undertaker, it was... he didn't really do anything, right? I don't know if... Like, he didn't choke slam LA Knight. He didn't do anything with Bray. It was almost like they didn't want him to do anything physical. Maybe he's not feeling well, but I think that's what the crowd, like the crowd literally wanted him to tombstone LA Knight. Like they're just like, just tombstone this guy. We want to see that. And they didn't do that. So that was kind of a little weird. And then him whispering whatever he did in Bray Wyatt's ear at the end was, I guess it was interesting. I mean, I don't know. I think the Bray Wyatt thing is kind of over. For a lot of fans, we'll see what they can do this weekend. Let's move on to Royal Rumble. I'm actually interested in both of your predictions for winners for both the men's and the women's side. Joel, do you have any like surefire predictions on who's going to win these matches?
I mean, listen, if you're not picking Cody Rhodes to win the Rumble at this point, I don't know what you're thinking. No one else has really stood out as the man, to walk out and win the Royal Rumble this year. Yeah, you could put Seth Rollins on there, but again, you attach Seth and Cody, and it's still the same. This is the same game being played. I think Cody comes out. I think Cody wins from the number 11 spot because that's a number that has a lot of symbolism to him and to the Dream. So I guess we're going to find out on Saturday. As for the women?
What about the women?
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of talk of Rhea Ripley. I don't think that the winner has been announced yet. And I don't, the problem is I don't know who it is, but I don't think that that woman has been announced yet for the Rumble.
That's interesting because, I mean, Becky got laid out, Bayley, I'm sure will be in it. The Damage Control will be in it. But yeah, like it doesn't sound like Ronda's going to be in it, which is interesting. I guess that means she wasn't going to win. But yeah, that's interesting that the person, cause I feel like, it's kind of like Rhea needs to be it, but it's only because there's no other younger talents who've gotten over. Like I know there's a lot of people who think Liv should win it. There's some people who think Raquel should win it. I don't think Raquel's over enough, though. I'm a big fan of hers. But Andrew, men's and women's side, what are you thinking for winners here?
I think Rhea should win the women's side, and on the men's side. I mean, you have Cody, obviously. That, like, I hope it is Cody, and I hope that he's not booed and they don't do weird booking where it kind of, you know, hurts him in the storytelling.
What'd you think of the video last night?
That was great. He's fantastic, dude.
Is that a video to get you fired up for him, or is that a video to where fans are like, oh, gosh, we're tired of these Cody videos?
I'm a little tired of the Cody videos, but I think for Cody, it's listen, that crowd could go either way, right? Something could happen. Someone could be eliminated. They have to be very careful how they position this. Also, who's number 30, right? Who's that big surprise? Who's the final four? A lot of that is going to play in. I'm thinking it's going to be Seth and him. And, you know, I don't know who else you could put in. Maybe
Gunther.
I don't even know who's coming.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. Where's Matt Riddle? Is he coming back?
My money's on back of the Rumble.
Riddle coming back is, you know, how's How's Orton doing? Is Cena going to be in the Rumble? I mean, there's so many things that they could do here. I don't know. And I hope it works out for Cody. Or the other thing, there's 15 people they haven't announced, right? Is there anybody else that could be in that position? I mean, Drew McIntyre, you know?
What about if they bring back the adult actor from Young Rock and he just pretends he's the Rock?
Oh my
God. Dwayne only has to come back for WrestleMania. He doesn't have to be in the Rumble. He wins the Royal Rumble and then Dwayne gets his match at WrestleMania. I think that's sweet.
We never said it was Dwayne. We said the Rock. And
The name on the contract says McMahon.
The name on the
Okay, do we get a Shane sighting here? You know, Shane kind of screwed up last year's Rumble.
I hope Shane comes and wins.
Shane throws out Brock Lesnar to win the match I'm gonna get
and Cody at the same time. And Cody at the same time.
So I think they've misplayed their hand here with Cody because I think if I'm reading the fans correctly, and Dave and Brian talked about this a little bit last night, I think the fans want Sammy to win this match. And so if Cody is in this match and we get to number 30 and Sammy doesn't come out as number 30, the fans may react poorly to this scenario. But if Cody was a surprise, if he was a surprise in this match, like we didn't know he was coming back, I think the fans would be fine with him winning. But I'm a little bit worried about the anti-Cody reaction if Sammy is not involved big time here.
Begging fans to stop with the Sammy stuff, because I guarantee you when he goes home in February to Montreal and has a main event match with Roman Reigns in what has been a culmination of a giant storyline, people are going to be like, oh yeah, no, that's much better. Because he comes out, hometown pop, his old music back. He's going to cut his hair, cut his beard. He's going to look like the Sami Zayn that you saw when he debuted in NXT.
I would love that.
If you do that, every expectation of him being the guy at WrestleMania is suddenly gone and it's okay again. And we can do that. And then you retell the story of getting to potentially KO and Sammy versus the Usos for the tag titles at Mania. Do that, and I think all is forgotten and forgiven.
I'm with you.
Sammy as the main event for WrestleMania. I don't think it's a Mania main event, and that's not a hit at Sammy. It's going to be so much more cathartic to see him do it at home, and that's a much better match for him, in my opinion.
I'm definitely with you. I think that is a much better story to tell, and that is where I hope they're going as well. But it's just, you know, this whole manipulation of the crowd that they seemingly have to do. And I almost feel like Sammy got over a little bit more than they fully expected him to tell this entire story that you're explaining. So I am a little bit worried. I'm a little bit worried of a hijacking here with the live crowd. And it's not like it hasn't happened to Cody before, right? Like that's the tail end of his AEW run was something similar. So I don't know. Andrew, do you have any thoughts on, you know, the possible crowd reaction to
It's happening again. I think they could do a good job with Sammy and make it not, you know, I think they're very aware of this, I'm sure. So they're going to do everything to kind of prevent the Daniel Bryan type moment, you know, that happened a couple of years ago. Maybe Sammy does win. You know, you could do something wacky where it's a double. It's such a blood feud between Cody and Seth that there, you know, something happens and they got double eliminated. And here comes Sammy and he won. Would people be very upset at that? Or, you know, you have Elimination Chamber. What's that Elimination Chamber match at that show? Yeah. You're obviously going to have these guys in that match. Maybe Sammy could win any challenges he doesn't get. And Roman says, listen, I'm not going to face you at WrestleMania, but I'll face you at Elimination Chamber. Or Cody, or you know what? Even better. Sammy wins. He says, you know what? I want to face you in my hometown of Montreal. They have that blockbuster match. You still have Cody win the Elimination Chamber and you're good. You could do that.
But then he's a dumb baby face for losing though to Roman.
Okay. He's a dumb baby face for losing, but they always are in WWE. So
Adam Pearce seems to love doing this thing lately where if there's a title match or something going on, he's suddenly going to insert himself into it. Like last night, where if the Usos couldn't continue competing, then they're going to forfeit the match and therefore lose their titles. I have a feeling, and I know people have been talking about whether or not they split the heavyweight championships right now. The way you get to it, love it or not, I don't care. This is kind of how you get there. You have Roman Reigns beat KO down so badly. And maybe even that happens after the match, after Roman wins and Sammy's standing idly by, like, I can't believe you did that. That's awful. Once they jump Sammy out, that's when Adam Pearce is just like, nope, you went too far, Roman. You absolutely went over the line. I'm stripping you of one of these titles because of what you did to KO. Now that title is going to be up for grabs at the Elimination Chamber. These men who were the last six in the Royal Rumble, they're going to be Elimination Chamber for the WWE Championship. Roman Reigns, you can have your Royal Rumble winner at the at WrestleMania. And that's that.
Interesting. That's an interesting scenario there. I like the creativity to that. Okay, so one way I think they could do this is Sammy's in the match. Sammy's doing well. Roman comes out. Because Roman did say he's got like one job to do or something at the Royal Rumble, right? Was that the line that he used? Like you have one more job to do or something like that? One more thing? He said it at the end of his promo. We don't want you on SmackDown. I'll see you on Saturday. He said something like that. And what I wonder is if Sammy's ripping and roaring through this match, and you guys remember the Four Horsemen angle where Sting was going to face Rick and Sting was part of the Horsemen, and Ole's like, you know, no, dude, like it's the Horsemen. It's not you. You can't face Rick, and then it turned him babyface. I wonder if Roman comes in and he's like, what are you doing? Like you're supposed to make sure that, you know, that we get the way that we want it to be. And then Sammy is still trying to win, and somehow Solo becomes the guy to make sure that he doesn't win. I think that because they've been kind of leaning there, and then maybe Jay's involved. Who knows? Like that, I think that will get the crowd really fired up. But ultimately, I don't think he can win the match because what Joel is saying, whatever they set up for Montreal has to be pretty big. And I think a Solo match between Roman and Sammy would set that place on fire, not literally fire alarms to go off in that building, like in Joel's place. But I think that would be like the bit, like just an insane reaction in that crowd.
His final test was how Roman put it.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. Final test.
The final test.
Yeah. Because do you remember that Horseman angle with Sting and Flair where Sting got that match by, I think he won the Future Shock tournament at Starrcade. And then Ole was like, what are you doing? Like, you know, and then they kind of jumped Sting out of the Horseman. But that's kind of the way that I sort of see it is, you know, that Sammy, his faithfulness to the bloodline also means he shouldn't be winning matches to face Roman for the belt. Like that shouldn't happen. So,
yeah.
I think the big question right now is whether or not Sammy gets jumped out of the bloodline or if he plays smart babyface for a change and, you know, attacks the bloodline and effectively turns face in the process.
They got a lot of ways to go with this. And you know what? The best thing about it, the fans are eating it up. So the TV SmackDown, you know, as much as sometimes I think that show is just kind of a bit on a treadmill, like you have to watch that Bloodline stuff on SmackDown because it's been so good. Okay, so
Garrett, let me ask you this, though, because I want to touch on this quickly. Do you think they're going to split the titles?
I don't even know what to think. I want, like, because of how they've built these titles up, I would love to see Roman lose both of them to Cody if that's what they're going to do. Because it just means more rather than splitting the titles. Because every time they split the titles, it just means less for both titles. It doesn't mean more. It means an extra match. Maybe there's an extra big match. But it's always felt cheap whenever they've done it. So I don't want them to do it.
Yeah, then if Cody wins. I was going to say, if Cody wins,
yeah,
what do you do afterwards? Because you can't have Cody be like, oh, no, I like, it's nice having both titles and all, but, you know, SmackDown needs a chance. So I'm going to keep this one. And here's the other one. It makes them look stupid.
Well, the original thing that they did when they did the brand split where the champion roamed back and forth between shows, I thought that was so great But they thought, well, we don't have a main event on the other show that week. But they've proven with Roman being the double champion that you don't really need it, right? It's about how many people who are over in your company on Raw or on SmackDown. And the numbers don't really go down back and forth. It's just really about the story. So I feel like they could do that to go back to the Undisputed Champion, have one champion, and he wrestles, you know, big feuds on both brands. The one caveat, though, that's different is now they don't do the split-branded pay-per-views anymore. It's all double-branded stuff. So that's the one difference, I guess. All right, last couple things before we get out of here. Andrew, do you have any idea what the pitch black match is going to be?
I don't know, and I don't care. I don't want to see it. I hate these corporate sponsored matches because they're never great. Maybe they'll lead to something. I'm kind of over the Bray stuff at this point. I think it's getting weird.
Yeah.
Because they've been, it's just continuing. It's not leading to anything. You know, we're not seeing anything done. Why did Uncle Howdy attack Bray? Right? Alexa Bliss, what's going on? Well, why is she being possessed by this, whatever it is? I'm hoping that this kind of cultivates and we get an answer at this point, right?
Yeah. Could it be a blindfold match, which is one of the worst types of matches you could ever have? Joel, do you have any thoughts on what the pitch black match could be?
All right. So on SmackDown, they were like, we don't know what this match is, but we do know the rules. So I'm sitting there like, so you do know what the match is. Because clearly you told us what happens and how someone wins it. That's one. Number two, I've said this on a couple of shows over on Fightful Overbooked. The idea being you take a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew Pitch Black, you tie it to your hands, Edward 40 hand style. You get two of those bottles. You got to chug one bottle, and then your opponent gets to kick you in the stomach. And if you don't puke up the entirety of that bottle, then you do it with the reverse, right? Your opponent does it. And you just do it back and forth until somebody just chews the liquid.
You know what?
And that's pitch black.
That makes more sense than what I've heard with it being a like just fluorescent lighting around the ring and it being dark.
But if they bring back the red lights for this match?
No, the whole
I'm
point
out.
Is...
I'm done.
Then it's the Mountain Dew Code Red match.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There you go.
Pitch Black, they could do fluorescent lighting. They could be like a cam girl, you know?
The Pitch
Black lights everywhere.
The Pitch Black.
Joel knows about that.
Is it a cola color or is it a purple color? Like, what is the actual color of the soda?
I think it's like purplish, right?
Yeah. I think it's purplish.
So maybe we do get the purple lights instead of the red lights, and maybe that's the Pitch Black match.
God, the Undertaker was here after all.
Andrew mentioned Bianca Belair versus Alexa Bliss. I have zero interest in this match. And then we get the world title reigns and Owens. I think more people are interested. I think the match will be good, but it's also what's the story here. So I'm excited. Andrew and I are going to be live on this very YouTube channel after the Royal Rumble. We will create the show and we'll put it in our Twitter so you will know when we go live. But generally, right after Rumble is done, I'm going to race home from Big Dave Meltzer's house. Andrew's going to jump on and then I'll join in and we'll go live talking about the Royal Rumble. So Joel, before we get out of here, I want to give you a minute to talk about all the stuff that you're doing and tell people where they can find you.
Yeah. First of all, thanks for having me. This was a blast. Hopefully we'll do it again soon. And you can find me at Joel
Never
Pearl.
Again. J-E-L.
Okay, fine. All right. Have a good night. Goodbye. J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L on all socials. I do host the Fightful Impact post show myself and my co-host Cresta Star Breakdown Impact Wrestling every Thursday night. It is a lot of fun. Sometimes the Impact stars pop into our chat because that's just how important we are to Impact Wrestling.
There you go. That's right. Cool.
And if you go over to youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked, that's the sister channel that we have. That's where we're cultivating new talent to come and join us over on Fightful. There's a lot of really great programming there. There's live shows almost daily, so come and check it out. And I'm starting a new podcast starting February 1st. It's called The Run Sheet. Myself and Ella J, we're going to be talking about wrestling twice a week. Wednesdays, it's all news. And then Saturdays, it's going to be all about wrestling TV and breaking down the week of the shows. So check us out. It's called The Run Sheet.
Busy, busy man. Joel, I want to thank you for jumping on with us. And we're going to have to do more stuff together. This was a blast. I thought we all meshed pretty well there for first time doing it. And three people's shows are kind of hard sometimes. So thanks to Joel. Of course, thanks to Andrew. I will see Andrew this Saturday. Bonus edition of We're Live, Pal. We're Live, Pal, After Dark. I think we both said we may have a glass of Dwayne's Terramana while we're doing this show. So
yeah, I got to go get it, actually. I'm done with mine. So I just realized I got to go buy a bottle.
All right. Before Lance Storm gets mad at us, we're out of here. So for Joel, for Andrew, I'm Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.